You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. For more information, visit studylegalenglish.com. Hello and welcome to the Study Legal English podcast, episode 119. I'm your host, Louise, and today, my listeners, we are going to be listening to my interview with David Stufer. David is a listener of the Study Legal English podcast, so of course it was really nice for me to meet one of my listeners online. But more importantly, it was great to hear about David's work, as David is a Polish judge. Prior to the pandemic, he had not used technology to conduct virtual hearings, but COVID-19 forced courts online, not just in Poland, but all around the world. I'm sure many of you listeners have been involved in online court hearings yourselves, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. So David, just like many of you, he had to adapt to this new way of working. He had to prepare and organise his court sessions very differently and deal with problems which arose. So in this interview, he shares his experience about this change, his tips for dealing with problems, and also some resources for finding out more about online court hearings. Before we get into this interview, I've just got a few things to mention. Firstly, I'd love to hear your stories. How did the pandemic affect your way of working? What changed for you? Let me know. Send me an email to louise@studylegalenglish.com or connect with me on social media. Join the Study Legal English group on Facebook or find me on Instagram. My username is @legalenglisher. So, also note that David would love to connect with lawyers and judges from other jurisdictions. So, at the end of the show, I'll be leaving David's contact. You can find this and links to any resources mentioned in the show notes. These are probably available in your podcast app or wherever you're listening to this podcast episode, but they're also available on my website, studylegalenglish.com. You can find them at studylegalenglish.com/episode119. Of course, if you are a Lite member of my website, you can access the transcript to this episode over on the Study Legal English website. If you're a Pro member, you'll get the transcript as well as a vocabulary list for this episode. And if you're not a member and you'd like to get ahead with your legal English, visit studylegalenglish.com/pricing for further information about membership and to sign up. So now let's get into the episode. Let's go. So, David, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me and pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Perfect. And at the beginning, you've got something to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we start, I would like to say one thing. So what I say in this interview, I represent my opinions and my thoughts. I don't represent the Polish government and other courts and judges, but I would like to share my experience with you and with your listeners.
Good. So, first question, can you tell me a little bit about your work?
So, I've been working as a judge, a regional court judge, for 4 years now, and I can say this is my fifth year of my professional career. And this regional court is the lowest court in the hierarchy of Polish courts in the Polish judicial system. The court is located in Brodnica, so a small town in north central Poland. But I live in Toruń, so it could be a more popular city in Poland because there is a university from which I graduated. So I studied law there. And there is an important thing for astronomy because in Toruń, Nicolaus Copernicus was born. He proposed a heliocentric system, that the planets orbit around the sun. But, okay, return to the main topic. So as a judge, I deal with exclusively civil cases. So the civil cases, we can divide in a lot more specific cases. It absolutely depends on which judicial system we are discussing. But probably we can say that we have commercial cases when the professionals are involved, and the second branch, it could be the typical family cases. And the biggest one, I think, the general civil cases. And so I don't deal with family cases, with commercial cases and criminal cases. So the cases concerning loans, banks, tenancy agreements, etc., a large number of cases that involve compensation and redresses as a result of torts. They are the vast majority of cases I deal with, and especially road traffic torts. So these cases, of course, demand court hearings and witnesses, because you have to evaluate a lot of circumstances about what really happened in the past. But in my practice, there are cases that are related to succession problems. It could be, for example, the civil liability of heirs for inheritance debts. So it's quite demanding cases. So deciding all of these cases, of course, involves hearing witnesses or experts, and of course, setting and holding public hearings is therefore essential. So there is like, in a nutshell, what I do.
Thank you. So my understanding is you're a judge, you work in one of the lower regional courts, and you deal with a lot of general cases. So not commercial, not family cases, but as you mentioned, cases relating to when there are issues of debt, issues of loan repayments, leases. You also mentioned that you deal a lot with torts, issues relating to tort. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, absolutely. But I would like to be honest, these cases are the vast majority of cases that we deal with. When I compare this with family cases or even the criminal cases, the number of these cases is rising still, because the people are more confident about their rights and obligations. And there are a lot of possibilities to hire a lawyer, yeah, and to fight for their rights. It could be, for example, the consumer contracts. Very simple contracts about if you buy, a car and this car has some kind of mechanical problem, you can sue the seller for compensation because it's not worth what you paid. So there are the typical consumer cases, but they are still quite complicated. Probably in most of them, you need to hire an expert to evaluate what really happened with this car. If there is a new car, probably there is a guarantee from the big companies. But if you buy a used car with kind of history, it could be demanding to prove your rights in front of the court. And you have to spend more money because you have to hire a lawyer or the expert. You have to pay for this. So sometimes we say that the consumer cases are very simple. Maybe the rights on paper are simple, that the consumer has a right to do something or not. But in practice, these consumer cases could be very demanding. But the value of the case, the car could cost, I don't know, maybe 200 euros. So there's not a high price, but the cost of the process is much higher than the value of the contract. So there is a disadvantage of these procedures because you spend more money. So there is a lot of struggling with these cases.
Yes. You mentioned that often, lawyers are involved. In Poland, can people represent themselves? Because in England, it is a possibility for small claims, not complex claims. They're called litigants in person. Do those exist in Poland? Can that happen?
So in Poland, the parties must be represented by professionals only in the proceedings in front of the Supreme Court. So the main claim should be sent and also written by lawyers, by professionals. But in other cases, it's not appropriate. You can be represented not only by yourself. You can hire your relatives, so your husband or your daughters, your son, so you can be represented by another person. So this is like the open court, we can say.
Interesting. So, of course, you're a judge. You're dealing with cases that come to you. And I wanted to talk to you about your experience being a judge online. So what is your experience? And I imagine that it's kind of changed because of the pandemic. And anyway, what's your experience?
Yeah, so just before the pandemic, so zero cases online. Now I can say that in maybe 60% of my cases, I can use online tools to deal with these cases, and I use it. I try to have experience with online cases, because it's absolutely obvious the pandemic forced technology into the courts, but there is still plenty of room for growth. I'm just over 30 years, so I'm 32. I can say that I'm at the start of my professional career as a judge. And my generation knows that we have to use new technology to speed up the proceedings, maybe to change what has never been changed before, because we have a lot of out-of-date principles, I can say, regulation, that is very difficult to use in modern times. And I can't say that it was good for courts that pandemic has happened. Yeah? And we still have problems because we still have COVID policy in courts and we have to comply with the specific regulation. But I can say that since March 2020, courts have rapidly moved online. In Poland, allowing civil courts to hold online hearings came into force in mid-2020. So I can say there was a turning point in the history of Polish courts that we had the chance to hear cases online. Okay, before we had some kind of instruments like video conferencing, but they were not so popular. And every judge had a kind of objection saying, okay, better call the person to court and hear directly, not use this technology tools like video conferencing, because for them it seemed like the, I don't know, very complicated technology, but it is not, yeah? So I know that because I use this technology in my daily life, so I try to transfer my abilities to use this new technology to my current work. But there are plenty of problems, I can say, with this online proceedings, because I said this before, judge must continue to use new technology solutions, but based on outdated procedural rules. So there is, in my opinion only, there are also a lack of appropriate implementing regulations, very specific regulation, how to organize these court hearings, which program, which software should we use. The majority of these solutions are resolved on the basis of recommendation or good practices, but there are not mandatory rules. So like the soft law, we can say. So there are a lot of challenges for the legislature in Poland, but probably not in Poland too, because around the world, courts are struggling in the same problems, I think. But sometimes, from my perspective, the questions about online hearings could be very ridiculous. And it's difficult to find the appropriate answer to them in our regulations. For example, in Polish civil procedure, during the public announcement of the judgment, all participants are required to listen to the judgment standing up. Yeah. And there is a question, are they supposed to stand up to the computer camera? So from my perspective, absolutely not, because there is another form of hearings. In fact, it could provoke an embarrassing situation if a person, I don't know, attends the hearings in his or her pyjamas. It could happen. So it's better to avoid this kind of embarrassing situation. Okay, it is a little bit ridiculous, but on the other side, I ask myself, how do I protect the right to due process? And how do I protect the rights and the obligation of the parties? Because it's obvious that witnesses are questioned in the absence of other witnesses. And how can I provide this? Because I don't know really who is on the other side of the computer. And it's not very difficult to share your screen directly, so the video, the audio to other witnesses at the same time when you are questioned. So there is a problem because we need specific software prepared for courts, because normally we use the commercial programs like Zoom, Skype, Google Meet, and WebEx. So the pandemic started 2 years ago. We are absolutely in another time now, but still we need more regulation, more specific regulation to provide what I mentioned before.
Interesting. So you mentioned quite a few points there. You mentioned that, so in Poland, you are using online tools to conduct trials, to conduct court hearings, but that there are issues in that the regulations are not fitting for this, for modern day online court hearings. They're fitting for having a court case
in court. An example you gave was about the regulations that says that everybody has to stand when, I think you mentioned, the judge enters the court, something like that.
And the announcement of the final judgment, yeah? So this is like the decorum, the formal way to hear the decision of the case. But in front of the computer, it could be ridiculous, yeah? The people are standing up and trying to hear what I read out from the paper, yeah? There could be a specific procedure to avoid this kind of legal question. Because it has no influence on the judgment, the people standing up or not. But still, there is the procedure to comply with. So maybe I break the law in this situation when I allow people to not stand up. So so there is a problem, of course.
Yes, it's an interesting point because, of course, potentially, I don't know if this is the case, but perhaps if a judge isn't following the law in that, you know, he's not requesting people to stand up in an online hearing, maybe that could be grounds for some kind of judicial review of the decision. Like, oh, the law wasn't complied with in this case. I mean, I think that would be a bit of a ridiculous situation.
Yeah, it could be ridiculous, of course, but I can imagine that a party could write something in the appeal about this. There is always the time when I have to consider this. And sometimes lawyers try to comply with this procedure out of respect for the court. They are not accustomed to this virtual technology and they try to behave just like in the courtroom. But it's not appropriate sometimes. You have to know that we use maybe the same procedures, but in different situation. So now the civil procedure code doesn't follow this new technology. So probably it could be better to make some amendments, and we are still waiting for this.
Yes. I went to a conference in Bergamo, which is a city near where I live in Italy, just before Christmas in December. And there was a researcher presenting their research on the changes in court rituals when there are court cases online. They'd analyzed some ICC transcripts, some International Criminal Court transcripts of online proceedings, and saw that these new rituals had come into play. So rather than everybody having to stand, it was more like they created a new rule. Nobody has to stand because, of course, you can't see the person when they're standing.
You can see
their body. So these new rituals and these new procedures need to happen. So you've mentioned there are a few issues in relation to the lack of regulation at the moment. What can actually happen in court cases online? What things can go wrong?
Yeah, there are a lot of problems. So firstly, probably the vast majority of problems that happen are technical issues. So if there is a bad internet connection, or maybe the kind of ability of parties to use the new technology, we go to square one, because I can't start proceedings. If I can start proceedings, it's much easier, you know, to proceed, because there are a lot of minor problems. For example, how to question witnesses. So probably it's better to shorten your question. Maybe sometimes the witnesses have to repeat the answer for the court record. But they are minor problems. I see people around on every street with cell phones, and probably they use cell phones and a lot of applications. But indeed, when they go to court, they're struggling with really simple tasks. So you can say that now the generation, it's very modern and has kind of knowledge of technology, but it's basic, you know, how to turn on a cell phone and how to write a message on Facebook. But if you have to check, for example, if your microphone or camera works okay, people, they don't know where to find the settings on this computer. Yeah? So it's like the maybe 10 years ago when the computer area started in judiciary, it was the same problem, how to write on the keyboard, not on the typewriter, etc. But I don't want to say they are doing this on purpose, yeah, for example, to stop proceeding. But sometimes it's very surprising for me, and that people are struggling with these problems. But yeah, the technical issues, of course, and the second one, I think it's, you have to change your mentality, you know. You have to change this mentality because you have to know that this online court hearings, or remote litigation, there is the same procedure that there could be in the courtroom. So the management of the case is the same. Yeah, you have to has a right to sue someone else. You have to present your points of the claim. And the questions to the witnesses are the same like in the courtroom, in the physical building. But sometimes people treat this online hearings like it's not so serious. Yeah, but I would like to always repeat this, that we are still in the courtroom, yeah, and we deal with your case on the same level as in the building. So maybe the change of mentality, probably after 2 years of pandemic, is changing, yeah, and people have started to realize that there are serious cases that they are involved in and they can resolve by online courts too. So the technical issues and the change of mentality, I think, are two things that people have to deal with now. And me too, probably.
Yes. So when you conduct an online court hearing, do you have to be in court or is it okay for you to be at home?
I could be at home. There is an exception in this procedure that it's not demanding to be physically in the courtroom, but I've never done this. I have in my courtroom the support of the IT department and, of course, the parties. For example, if they have some kind of problems with the internet or they can't connect with court, so they probably call the court staff. So sometimes I have to talk with these parties directly by phone to explain some kind of technical issue. It's not only the normal people, but the professionals too, because sometimes I have to connect with the professionals and say, please click this link appropriately, then write your name and then maybe check your settings of your microphone or camera. I see you, but I don't hear you. So maybe check some kind of your microphone settings. Change the microphone probably, or change the computer if it's possible. So it's always better to be in the courtroom, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but probably from theoretical point of view, it's possible now, for example, to connect with my court and I could run the case just from my home.
I suppose being in court as well, you feel like a judge because you're in court. I don't know how to say that. You know, even though the participants might be at home where things are a bit more, they might feel more informal, being in court gives you that.
I know what you mean. It's another problem because in Polish procedure, the judges and the professionals wear special gowns. So I have a judge's gown and there is a demand to have some kind of a symbol of our state on the wall. Okay, and in this courtroom, it's probably better for the parties if they see me as a judge in the courtroom for the parties to treat this series more seriously.
Yeah, and you mentioned an interesting point there about how you've assumed this extra role almost as IT manager, even though at court you have the support of the IT people. Conducting proceedings online, you have to sometimes phone people and tell them, oh, click here. And I think a lot of people and probably a lot of listeners have found themselves in that situation throughout the pandemic where you're having to explain how to do things on the computer to maybe your clients or to, if there are other judges listening who've done online court hearings, you know, they've had to do that. And certainly I've had to do that as a teacher, you know, when switching to online classes and you have to explain where things are.
The beginning was very difficult for all of us, not only for the litigants, for the judges and the court staff too, because we had to change not only the mentality, but our customs, yeah, how we organize court hearings, to prepare other drafts for the parties, how to send post to these people, because you can't send information about court hearings without, for example, the link to the courtroom, and they have to send the special instructions and put them on the website of the court for the parties. So we had to prepare everything ourselves, so without any extra help from the government, because the government was busy with other things in the pandemic. Of course, the health problems were more important than the court hearings, but still there is the problem. We had to organize things very quickly, try to return to normality and resolve the cases.
Yes. So we've talked a little bit about your experience of working online and the kind of issues that can happen and your changing role as a judge online. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about how lawyers or participants in a court case can prepare for an online court proceeding.
There are a lot of tips that we can follow. Probably on the internet, there are a lot of stories. What really happened in the courtroom during the remote litigation? Probably on YouTube, you can find some embarrassing moments of the lawyers. And probably you remember this cut lawyer or
yes.
So it was embarrassing. Probably, okay, a little bit funny too. But yeah, what I can say, so preparation is like the basic for the lawyers and the participants. And so firstly, I would like to say that the first decision to hear the case, so there is a decision of the judge because I have to evaluate the case. It is appropriate to hear this case online or there are other obstacles. I can say that remote hearings seem to be working well in kind of very simple procedural hearings involving only judges and advocates. And maybe for the cases that are more technical or kind of administrative proceedings. So it's now they are very prepared for these court hearings. So it's no problem to be in touch with these people, to send the hyperlink to the courtroom conference by email, and they can acknowledge that they received this. So there is no problem. But there are a lot of cases that are not appropriate to hear online. And I mean cases involving vulnerable parties or witnesses, like the disability, mental health problems, learning difficulties. I can see this directly from the files, what is written down in these documents. The people have a problem to communicate to court what they really want from the court. So this is like the first indicator that probably the court online is not good for them because it will be more difficult than normally to go to the court building and meet the judge face to face. And of course, when Polish is not the first language, we have to probably hire an interpreter, and it's much more convenient to organize court hearings with parties physically in the building for better translation. So they are the general tips when I organize court hearings. But preparing for a case, it's not significantly different from previous preparation. I mean that each lawyer has his or her own style. Some use detailed notes, for example. So if you are preparing for the case, it depends on your style, but it's very significant to keep in mind that, for example, using, I don't know, Microsoft Word when you have a court hearings, it could be difficult because you have to switch programs and you can lose your connection. It could be the same moment if you share, for example, the picture of the case and you would like to share the desktop, yeah, and show what we would like to ask witnesses, so to show some photos from the car accident, probably to describe what really happened. It could be difficult. So I recommend, for example, using another device like the iPad or maybe just print out these notes and have these notes in front of you. I think there is another tip that you can do just before the hearings. What we mentioned before, so use professionals to set up your internet connection. It could be just for one time, and then you can use these settings in the future. But for the first time, it's better to check the computer if your settings are good. For example, you can check in the special instruction received from the court. For example, which browser to use to have a better connection with court. So please check the settings of your microphone and camera. And from my perspective, it's very demanding, for example, to update the software, because I always remember stories from parties that they turn on the computer and then have some kind of information about the update of Windows. Yeah. And it takes time and they have to wait to the end. It's good to use these platforms like Zoom or Skype in your daily life. Yeah. Because you can be accustomed to this settings and how the screen looks and which buttons are for what. There's some icons that are very characteristic for this program. So it's better to use these things in your daily life. And maybe some kind of tip from my experience. It's better to use laptops than cell phones. In my court, it is possible to use the cell phones to connect with the court. But someone may call you, you may lose connection. I recommend the laptop. Yeah, it could be a little bit funny, but you have to be very careful what you share. So make an order on your desktop. I don't really care about this, but then other passes can see your desktop, which files you have, and maybe with ridiculous titles, maybe create special desktop for online hearings that you have only the files that would you like to share and a very pure wallpaper, yeah?
Yes. So choose a kind of a neutral wallpaper, a respectable wallpaper.
Respectable. It could be a simple color like navy blue or something like that. But okay, with photos from vacations, it's for your memories, not for the court memories, of course. And so maybe this is connected with what we mentioned before too. You have to remember you are in the court still. So even if you use this internet tools, okay, you can feel more relaxed, but even then you have to be prepared for this. So dress appropriately, yeah, if you are going to be on camera. So not like the t-shirts from vacation with strange pictures, etc. So because you probably don't wear these things in the physical building, in the courtroom. And I've mentioned before that attorneys wear gowns in the courtroom. So we demand the same things in online court hearings. From one side, there is no regulation that says not to wear these things. So there is the one reason. But the second is that I can recognize the professional on the screen. So I, from the third side, I see, okay, there is a lawyer for this party, then because there is characteristic gown, so I can speak to them directly, so to direct my eyes to this person on the screen. And of course, there is another thing that people have to be aware. So for example, no multitasking, no checking messages, or no eating, or no conversing informally with associates, and no smoking. For example, this situation happened to me. So during the court hearings, one person started to smoke. And I said, okay, this is not the appropriate way to behave before the court. So probably because they feel too relaxed, yeah, and they try to connect from the bed and from another places that are not appropriate. And I would like to return to this because now I've remembered another story about the cell phones and the laptop. I remember the situation when the attorney was driving and was trying to connect with court from the highway. So it is absolutely forbidden, yes, to use a cell phone while driving. So I remember I stopped the hearing immediately and the postponed, and I only sent to this man a message. So please drive safe and go to the first car park and then you can connect with the court, but not try to connect when you are driving, yeah? People sometimes they don't realize that it's absolutely forbidden, yeah? In front of the court, it was a stupid thing, I think. Absolutely. So, yeah, but funny, maybe one side funny situation, but on the other side, very serious situation. So please avoid this kind of situation in the future. And of course, what could be important too, so is to find appropriate place in your home, because, for example, avoid noisy and dark rooms. It could be very strange interviewing from a pool or the garden, yeah? Try to find a good place when you can testify, I don't know, 30 minutes. So it could be not the whole day. And it looks unprofessional if you are trying to connect from the basement. And if you have a mess in your room, probably it's better to clean up your place, because the parties and me as a judge, I see these things. It could be very distracting because I see, I don't know, the animals, like the dog is barking or the cat trying to go on your keyboard. Yeah, so it is still the courtroom. So don't bring your animals, any of the pets to the courtroom. Yeah, so don't do it in your home too. So probably there are like maybe 7 or 8 tips I've mentioned about how to prepare for this case. And during this court hearings, you have to always remember that ambiguous questions are difficult to process under the best of circumstances. So try to shorten your questions, because if the question is very complicated, it will be a problem to understand the answer, and it could be difficult for a witness to understand the question. And of course, at the end, what can I say? Be prepared for problems, yeah? But okay, the problem could be solved very quickly, but don't be afraid of them, but be prepared for this. So the more court hearings you do, that probably you gain more experience. So now we can say there are a lot of professionals and a lot of individuals that are prepared for court hearings, but still for a lot of people, this is the first court hearing in their life and the first online hearing. So people are nervous, and then they have to connect with the court by internet. It's like double the problem. Yeah. So maybe I try to respect this, and I try to understand the people's situation, that they could be nervous, and I try to make a good atmosphere and to be very patient. But I demand, please read the instruction that the court staff sent before a court hearings. So this maybe not in nutshell, but my recommendation about court hearings.
Good. Some nice tips there. So just to recap, you mentioned the first point was print out your notes. Don't try to have Word open whilst you're then trying to share your screen to share some evidence. Things will get complicated. You mentioned check your technical settings and get familiar with using the technology. You mentioned to use a laptop, not your mobile phone, which I think is seems really obvious, but it sounds like quite a few of your participants are logging on with the mobile phone. Laptops are so much easier to see what's happening rather than a tiny screen on your mobile phone. You mentioned to keep your desktop clear in case you have to share your screen. Use a neutral background. And then also you mentioned about if you've got questions, if they're ambiguous, try to keep them short, because just for practical reasons that you don't have to keep repeating them. Is that right?
Maybe with this, because normally it's very difficult to focus on the screen the whole day. Maybe you can't hear the whole speech of the witnesses. And there are things that distract you. Normally, what you have on your desk, maybe the noises from outside your room. And you have to be prepared for this, and you have to understand the situation of witnesses, because they are in the same situation. They try to answer the question, but if they hear the question, what is too complicated. And in the courtroom, I can imagine that you can use some kind of a body language to explain something. Yeah. On Zoom, you have only face to face. So probably you don't distinguish these things, and you keep short. Yeah. It's better for court recordings too, because I have to record in my mind these answers and then dictate maybe the answer for the protocol.
You make a good point that these are also points that really help people, you as a judge and also the other participants, really to focus, because, you know, you're dealing with potentially complicated issues. So my final question is, do you recommend any resources for working as a lawyer online?
You can't find any book like the manual for online litigations, but probably now you can find this information on special websites like the Bar Association. But I have prepared 3 or 4 links that you can share with your listeners.
Perfect.
Okay, there is another, it's one podcast, it's called Law and Technology, and I think it's prepared by American Bar Association. And there are sometimes episodes about court hearings and about online court hearings. So like the conversation between lawyers, and maybe they try to resolve some kind of issues that can happen during online court hearings. But I can't recommend one source, yeah? Or what I recommend maybe, but this is like from my curiosity, what I've done. I try to find an archive or live stream of court hearings in other countries. So, for example, you can find the typical court YouTube channel when you can see the court hearings live. For one side, you see another procedure, how the cases are dealt with by judges from other countries, and how the parties behave, how they gave the arguments, oral arguments. But on the other side, you can see how to be prepared for online hearings. You see the settings and other features that could be useful for your practice. So there is the Supreme Court of UK. You can find the list of cases, and you can be the public for this case. Yeah, like normally, you can go to the court building and hear the case. In the same way, you can connect with court and hear these cases.
Definitely. I would second what you said in that the Supreme Court of the UK has got a very good archive of videos. I think they do have a YouTube channel, yes. And as well, the Court of Appeal in England and Wales has got 3 YouTube channels, I think. If you Google courtroom 71, 73 and 75, there's a lot of videos there. And some of them, they're just being streamed and the parties are in court. Some of them are remote hearings. Some of them are kind of hybrid, where you've got some participants in court and some people remotely. Something I'd be really interested in hearing about is if it's possible to watch any trials. It's not something I've been able to see. I've always seen appeals, so either in the Court of Appeal or the Supreme Court. I haven't been able to see any trials because, of course, they're a little bit different. So if any listeners out there know of any trials that you can stream, get in touch, let me know.
Yeah, it could be very good. If, for me too, as your listener and your listeners around the world. So please share your experience and when we can hear and see court hearings in other countries.
And do you have any final comments? What about the future?
So my predictions are that we will use the online hearings, these tools, in the future, not only during the lockdown, but of course we have to create good regulation about this. Yeah. So not only for pandemic time, but for life. Yeah. Because we stay with these procedures. There is no way back to the past.
Yes. So you went from pre-pandemic not being involved in online court hearings to suddenly the pandemic hitting, being very involved in the setting up of these online court hearings, and then to your situation throughout the pandemic and now, which is about 60% of your cases are online, which is a huge change. And now convinced that in the future, this is something that will stay. It's not something that's going to go away. And hopefully it's going to stay and improve.
Maybe I would like to mention something, because it's not only my perspective, because the parties want to be heard online. So they demand from the courts, for example, please organize an online hearing, because I don't have time to travel to your court, because they realize that it's really saving time and money. And I can say the parties started liking it. So judges, not only in Poland, have to remember that this is not only my decision to organize online hearings, but probably in the future, there will be a kind of a demand of the parties, like the formal motion, and you have to deal with this motion. You can't reject this without any reason. Yeah. So it's my perspective that typically we will have online hearings, and then, like an exception, we will have physically hearings like in court. But of course, it depends on what the governments and the legislature prepare for courts and for civil procedure. But I can't now observe the change of mentality for judges and the lawyers.
Good. So it's not just your perspective, but a lot of parties are demanding or requesting, we can say, online hearings.
Then now when we have this opportunity to use online hearings, there is like the open space to deal with international cases, because now we are prepared to organize video conference, and we can connect with people from abroad. Of course, there are some points that maybe we have to comply with international rules of procedure, etc. But now we don't have this kind of a wall that we had before. If I have a case with people from abroad, for example, in the succession cases, it's very simple to organize online hearings, not to send a special letter to them. Then I have to receive the acknowledgement after 6 or 7 months, and they have to go to Poland just for these court hearings. So now for international relations and the cooperation of courts. It's much simpler than it was before, I think.
Yes. So. Yeah. Okay. So thank you for coming on the show, David. I know that you wanted to do a shout out.
Yeah. So thank you again for inviting me. And of course, I would like to say something to my lovely wife, because she's a listener of your podcast too. And I would like to give my best greetings to her, and maybe this is a good opportunity to thank her for her patience, because I struggle with my English and she speaks English very well. Sometimes she helps me with my English, and now I have the chance to realize my passion. So try to do something myself, like in English lessons and to build international connections. So she's a big support for me. So I would like to thank you, Agnieszka. So she's her name.
Agnieszka.
Thank you very much.
Is that
Agnieszka? Yeah.
Agnieszka. Hi, Agnieszka. Congratulations. Thank you for listening and for supporting David. Good. Okay.
So that's the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned something new. If you'd like to connect with David, his email is david.stufer@icloud.com. That is spelt David for David dot Stufer SZTUWE at iCloud.com. Of course, this email address is in the show notes if you didn't catch that. Don't forget to get in touch to tell me about how the pandemic affected your work. Let me know, send me an email to louise@studylegalenglish.com or connect with me on social media, join the Study Legal English Facebook group, or find me on Instagram. My username is @LegalEnglisher. Of course, visit studylegalenglish.com/episode119 for all the show notes, include David's email and any resources we mentioned in the show. If you are a member, head over to studylegalenglish.com/episode119 to get access to your member benefits. For this particular episode, light members get access to a transcript for this particular episode, and pro members get access to a transcript and a vocabulary list containing lots of vocabulary, which will be helpful for you as a legal professional working in the English language. And of course, members get access to an archive full of resources like this. Transcripts for so many of the podcast episodes, and for pro members, lots and lots of vocabulary lists. So if you're interested in this membership, head over to studylegalenglish.com/pricing to find out more information and to sign up. So thanks for listening and see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Study Legal English podcast. If you really want to get ahead, why not become a member and gain access to many learning resources? Visit studylegalenglish.com/pricing.